I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
In a world with work deadlines and horrible bosses.
You apparently didn't put one of the new cover sheets on your TPS report.
And your team may be in last place. We can all find comfort in sports, like a signal in the sky.
Oh, come on. You gonna leave me all alone here with less angry Rosie O'Donnell?
They call upon Gwynn and Chris with Tony Gwynn Jr.
I'm kind of a hermit. I like to be in the house all day long if possible, but a lot of times the wifey doesn't allow that.
And Chris Ello.
Keep all your arms and legs away from my mouth when Sonic arrives. Wow, that was the perfect clip.
Brother.
Gwynn and Chris starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Hour number three, we're just rolling through this Tuesday. I'd say it's evening now. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, out in Hawaii, Thomas Andrews, Matt Scraby, both in here keeping me some company. Hey, there's been somebody has spotted me swinging a softball bat.
Oh, that was you?
No, it wasn't, but we'll get into it later. Been getting DMs, I've been getting at it like all day today on Instagram about me apparently hitting an absolute missile.
Oh my god, you ought to take credit for this. I mean, with all due respect, if it's not you, the guy who's swinging the bat in this pickup softball game looks like you, and I know it isn't you because you won't play pickup softball, which I understand, but as Scraby just said, there are worse things you could take responsibility for, because this guy hits the ball out of sight. It's unbelievable.
This ball is pummeled. I believe the man's name is Michael Burgess Sr. Did play some pro ball for the Nationals. This ball is absolutely a scud, but it's not me. It's not me. But I will admit, when you look at the stance, a lot of similarities. A lot of similarities. Yeah. I don't know if I got that kind of pop, though. I'm going to be straight up honest with you, off top.
It'll be up and online. It's actually up right now on 97.3thefansd.com. But when we get back to it, we'll break it down.
We will. All right, let's talk.
Is it next to the Chris swimming with the sharks video? Is that still circulating?
That is up there.
Swimming with the sharks. All right, yeah. Let's talk Padres baseball. I told you guys earlier, Dennis Lynn wrote an article with some quotes from Peter Seiler, the general partner of the Padres, saying that if the deal makes sense, they're going to be willing to spend some money. And that kind of opens up all kinds of things, right? Because that doesn't just mean they're going to sign, they would be open to signing one of the top tier guys, but that may mean that they may be open to signing two guys that maybe aren't that top tier, that maybe be a little less money to fill spots. I mean, this kind of opens up things a little bit for the Pods, I think.
Yeah, I mean, look, I who did I say is the most important get for the Padres this offseason? It wasn't a manager, it was Gerrit Cole. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, but when I said that, I didn't really think Gerrit Cole makes sense, because I can't imagine a Padres would be willing to spend another, you know, $200 million on another player. But you brought it up, Tony. The big money contracts sound like a lot, but it all comes down to how much money is paid per season, et cetera. And the Padres ranked in the bottom third of the league in terms of payroll last year. So there is some room for maneuvering. It is, and it is very easy for me to sit in Honolulu or San Diego or anywhere and spend, you know, Ron Fowler's money. But clearly, I think the Padres thought, I mean, isn't it possible that the Padres have gotten together, you know, as an organization and said, you know what, maybe the hot lava talent that we all thought we had, we have some, we don't have as much as we need.
Right.
So we may have to change our approach a little bit. We may have to add something to this. I mean, they've got to be good in 2020. They've got to be good in 2021, and they got to figure out a way to get there. And if it ends up being spending a little bit more money in free agency, then that may be the answer.
That work has already begun. At one point, the Padres had, I think, 51 guys on their 40-man roster. They've trimmed that all the way down to 40.
Yeah.
And that was on November 4th. On October 31st, they traded Travis Jankowski to Cincinnati. Adam Warren and Aaron Loop both declined their options. Their options were declined by the team, so they're free agents. So they're sitting at 40. And A.J. Cassavell wrote an article yesterday kind of outlining the biggest needs. Don't know if this was in any particular order, but according to A.J. Cassavell, starting pitching is at the top of the list. Outfield is the second spot. Bullpen and bats round out the four biggest needs for the Padres. Now, you could argue that bats can be kind of thrown in there with outfield, but doesn't necessarily have to be the case. The Padres have some spots that they got to shore up, no doubt, in order to be contenders in 2020. And when you not only free agents, but you're also looking at trades. You've seen the speculation already start with Mookie Betts. We actually been watching MLB Network in this room right now, and they had a deal up that the Padres certainly could do better than. They had a deal for two guys, one from the Whites, and looking at the names that were on there, the Padres certainly could do that. It was just two players to get Mookie Betts in that case.
Do it. Do it. You know, I did also wanted to ask too, Tony, because I brought it up a little earlier in the show talking about the Padres, but the Eric Hosmer signing of a couple of years ago now. We never got back to this, but I don't think anybody wishes they had the Manny Machado signing back. I mean, yeah, could he have had a better year? Sure, but he may have a double up his stats next year. Number one, number two, he was a solid citizen and a fantastic player, except for the two or three times he didn't hustle out a fly ball. But, hey, who's counting? But Eric Hosmer, he has not really been – I don't know. I mean, he had a better year, obviously. Did he get 100 RBIs? I think he just missed it. 99. Yeah, well, that's just missing it.
Yeah.
But I wonder if there are any Padre fans who think that money wasn't as well spent as it could have been. I'm not saying that I feel that way. I'm just wondering if there are some people who are saying, second-guessing that decision. Because $144 million would look really nice to have right now if I was going after Gerrit Cole or going after somebody else in free agency. What are your thoughts, Tony?
I like the deal still. Has it been as productive as we initially thought it could be? No, but it doesn't look good now because they're not a winning ball club. This mm-hmm. move looks – it pays more dividends when you're on a winning ball club. Hosmer's the glue guy, in my opinion. He's the guy that can keep this thing all together. He's the guy in the clubhouse that – can kind of pull from all different walks of life. People enjoy his leadership. So, and then he had a bounce back year last year, big time. I think you'd like to see him hit lefties better, maybe. But I still think it's worth it. I think it'll start showing dividends as this roster gets better around him. He was never going to be a guy that was going to put an organization on his back and just carry him everywhere, but. He certainly, I think, is going to – you'll see his value as the roster gets better around him, I think.
Yeah. I'm not here to say that they made a mistake.
Yeah, no,
I'm here to – I think that there might be some people who think, you know what, $144 million, maybe that could have been spent better.
You might be
– and that's just
– I think you're right that there are a lot of people who believe that. I mean, but you look at the numbers from last year, most at-bats, most – second most runs, most hits, most doubles – third most homers or fourth most homers, most RBIs. I mean, he led the team in almost all of the offensive categories. Again, I could understand why people might feel that way, especially in terms of how the roster can be improved this year, going into the 2020 season. But I think ultimately it'll be it'll pay dividends when this roster gets better. We got phone callers on. We have a phone caller online. We will get to you on the other side. Want to remind everybody, Gwen and Chris is brought to you by Sonic Drive-Ins here in San Diego. Amazing burgers and drinks with 8 locations around town. So Google Sonic and find the nearest location. All right, 5:15, right around the corner. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to revisit this Chargers relocation story that has bubbled up over the last couple days. And, okay, thank you for the hand signals there. We're going to step away, take a break. When we, Gwen and Chris.
Tony, you're scoring, man. You're scoring. Come on, bring it around.
519, Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, out in Hawaii. Women in action tonight against Hawaii. San Diego men's.
Season opener.
Both the men's and women season opener tonight. Real games that actually matter. But we're talking Padres, or excuse me, we were talking Padres. We're going to get in some NFL before we end that Padre conversation. Evan in North Park wants to talk a little bit of Padres. Evan, thanks for calling in. How you doing today?
Hey, guys, doing great. Love the show. I'm actually headed out to Viejas for the men's opener, so excited about that.
But bring us a W.
I had 2 points. Get the W. It's going to be a big night, so excited about another tournament season. But two things I wanted to bring up about the Padres. First off, regarding signing Strasburg or another pitcher, I hate the idea. I think that big pitcher contracts, especially when you go to 5 and 6 years, there's been more success lately with a guy like Scherzer. But, you know, I think back to, like, Mike Hampton. I think that all these bad contracts, when you're signing a pitcher going into his 30s, and I think it can really hamstring the team. And I'm much more to the idea you guys have talked about, which is making a trade, giving up some assets to get a guy who is controllable for several years, who might be making $6, $8, $10, $15 million a year, but I'm not giving anybody $30 million a year, even as a lifelong San Diegan, as a Strasburg fan. I can't see you giving him 5 or 6 years at $35 million a year.
Would you be willing to do less years, more annual per year, maybe 4, and bring up the annual amount per year?
Yeah, I think I would. But I think that's. I think that's a pipe dream.
Yeah,
I think
you're probably right.
It's going to demand that 5th, 6th, 7th year. And once you get past 5, I'm just out. But the other main thing, the real reason I called, was the question about Eric Hosmer, about whether, as a Padres season ticket holder, whether I regret that move. And you know what? I don't, because there's no signing of Manny Machado without the signing of Eric Hosmer.
That's a good
point.
And
I think it's been a little bit disappointing with the numbers he's put up. But it didn't make the Padres a contender on the field yet. What it did is make them a contender in the offseason, to have players take them seriously, to make them make moves. And you have to do something, and you maybe have to overpay a little bit and overspend a little bit to be taken seriously and to start that change and make that culture change. And if we overpaid a bit for him, I think that's okay, because he is that glue guy, and I think he's changing the franchise.
Evan, that is a phenomenal point. And as a matter of fact, thank you for the phone call. I remember 2 years ago when they made that signing, that was one of the points made, was that you had to kind of, you know, get everybody's attention first that you would spend that money, because it was completely out of the question prior to Eric Hosmer. You fast forward a year later, the reason why Manny Machado's interested, you can point to that signing the year before of Hosmer and saying, listen, man, we're trying to create something special here. We need you as the cornerstone. And look, here's the evidence that we're serious about it. I think Evan's absolutely right. Without Eric Hosmer, we have more money in the bank, but you probably don't have Manny Machado.
You know, it's interesting, Tony. We've said this many times on this show. We really have some excellent callers who come on with some excellent stuff, and that was really good by Evan. I really thought that was well thought out. It was accurate. And, you know, look, we're lucky, you and I. We may not have the best producer in the business, but we get the best callers in the business.
Wow.
So.
Out of nowhere.
He slid that in there, too.
I had no idea that was coming.
Snuck that one in there.
But, no, that was really a good phone call, and Evan's right. And, you know, you're just, you know, we're agreeing with something that's 100% right. If you don't spend Hosmer, then Machado doesn't even think Padres.
No.
So
He doesn't.
There's no arguing that.
I do like Evan's thought of, and I think that's really in order to feel to improve this roster. That's probably going to be the way they have to go for some of these spots. They're not going to be able to sign everybody in free agency, but
no, we can't. We can't get them all.
Unfortunately, we can't. But I do believe that if the Padres are going to spend big in free agency, I get the sense it's going to be of the pitcher variety. Now, we can have the debate on years, the 5, 6. And listen, until I figured out this morning that Steven is actually 30 and not 31 or 32, as I thought, I feel differently a little bit about going over 4 years than I did prior. But nevertheless, it's an opportunity to get your team streamlined into a conversation in which we're talking playoffs next year if you can get a frontline starter. Because, again, that affects everybody who's already in the rotation. Everybody slots down. And I think that sets everybody else up.
Imagine if Chris Paddock was your number two guy. Imagine if Garrett Richards was your number three guy. Imagine if the Nelson Lamet could be your number four guy.
Right. And you could flip-flop Paddock because Garrett Richards, because Garrett Richards has been a number one in Anaheim before. So that's what I'm looking at. When I say I'd be all for the Padres going out bringing a starting pitcher, there's going to be risk in everybody you bring in, including Eric Hosmer, including Manny Machado. But if you can bring a starting pitcher in that is of that tier, oh, man, I think that sets everybody up for success. It's great. What you got?
Thomas sent me this earlier, and it's from MLB at Bat. It popped up. It said, Paddock poised to turn heads, quote,
knowing
there's no leashes on me, it's going to be fun. So that sounds awesome.
I think
that's good news.
I think everybody, especially Christopher and Chris Ello, I'm talking about, is I don't know if anybody's more looking forward to a guy like Chris Paddock going deeper than five than Chris Ello.
Drove me crazy last year. And I'll tell you, I tell you who else is going to be looking forward to that ability is Jace Tingler.
Oh, 100%.
So that his hands aren't tied. I mean, he can go ahead and use his starting pitchers, and when they're pitching well, keep them in a ball game. So that'll be a big deal. You know, the one position we haven't talked about yet today, and we've talked about Mookie Betts a little bit in the outfield, we talked about some hitting, and we talked about, obviously, the starting pitching, et cetera. But second base continues to be another place where I think you have to pay a little attention. I'm not going to be sold on Urias, not yet anyway, until I see him do it for a couple of months at the major league level when the games really matter. So it's going to be interesting to see how they go about fixing all of this stuff. Are they going to go with Hedges and Mejia at catcher? You know, that's another bit of a question mark it's not even a bit of a question mark. It's a real question mark. And, you know, outfield wise, you know, Hunter Renfroe, what happened the last 2 months? Was it really just because he wasn't feeling 100%, or is it because pitching started to figure out Hunter Renfroe? I don't know. So they got a lot of questions. And I think you're right, Tony, on free agency. If I'm going to do free agency and I'm going to do one big spending, item, I'm going to do it on a starting pitcher because it's going to make everyone else better. But at the same time, the time has come where some of the hot lava talent is going to have to be traded and bring in some established stuff, because I just think that that's where this franchise needs to go to get to where it wants to go.
I do agree. All right, time to take a break. When we come back, we got our countdown. Scary, what's our countdown today?
Well, because of the black cat during the Monday Night Football game last night, we're going to do top five superstitions in sports.
Top five superstitions in sports coming your way. Gwen and Chris, 97.3. 533, Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, I'm here, he's in Hawaii. I got Matt Scravey and Thomas Andrews here in the studio with me. And
they're trying to stick the knife in and twist it a little bit with some of that Don Ho Hawaiian music there, I think.
Was that intentional, guys? Are you guys trying to stick it to him?
No.
Oh,
okay. No, stick it to you.
Oh, stick it. Oh, I see.
Because you're there and I'm here.
Yeah. Are you guys trying to stick it to me?
In that case, yes.
Oh, see, Scraby's upset with me because I've been picking on him a little bit.
Yeah, today has been weird, but can I tell everybody out there what Tony's doing? I'm looking at him in his headphones. His headphones have been broken for like 2 weeks now.
Yeah.
And they just keep falling off his head.
I refuse to go get a new pair.
Wow. Oh, what?
All right. We got ourselves a top five countdown. And our countdown today is top five, sports superstitions. Let's get to it.
It's now time for Gwen and Chris to rank their top five of the day.
Gonna grip and rip as usual.
But this isn't just a regular top five list.
I love it. It sounds sadistic, but I love it.
This is the countdown. And it starts right now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right. Before we get into it, we're going to play for you some sound. Obviously, the Black Cat made its appearance yesterday at MetLife Stadium. And we figured we ought to play some sound concerning the Black Cat.
Nah, I'm not superstitious. Not at all. It didn't bother me. Only thing that I didn't like about it is we was going, and it just stopped us a little bit. But I think we still scored in that drive. I'm not 100% sure, but I don't know how a Black Cat got on the field. But hey.
I've never considered myself superstitious either.
Wait, did he say that? That's Saquon Barkley, by the way.
Superstitious? Sound like he said superstitious. He might have said superstitious.
He definitely
said
superstitious.
When you ran out the center field for all those years, did you ever step on the chalk line?
Nope. I jumped over it every time.
Well, then don't say you don't have any superstitions, because there's one right there.
Touche.
All right.
Thank you for pointing that out to everybody. All right, let's get to number five on the list.
Number five.
My number five is the Madden curse. Something we talk about often. It's been a little bit debunked. You know, there's been a few guys that have had good years after being on the cover. But for a large majority of guys who get on there, usually doesn't have a good year. That's number five.
You're right about that. Not only did they not have a good year, they've been hurt.
Yes.
Most recently, terrible things
keep happening to them.
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes, this year's guy who graced the cover.
Jinx.
All of a sudden, his knee has been dislocated, and he's missed the last, two games? Yeah.
Yeah, the Madden cover jinx did take a little while off, but this Patrick Mahomes injury has kind of brought it back
to
life.
It's back, yeah.
It's back. My number five is one of my all-time favorite individual superstitions in the history of sports. There's only one guy in the history of sports who has done this. There's only one guy in the history of sports who did this every single minute of every single game that he was ever a part of. And there's only one guy in the history of sports who did this, and I still, to this day, have no idea why he did what he did. And what I am referring to is former UNLV basketball coach Jerry Tarkanian chewing on his towel.
Ugh. Yeah, no, I mean, Jerry Tarkanian was like my first introduction to basketball, like watching that UNLV running Rebel Squad. And I remember asking my dad on many occasions, like, why is he chewing on that towel? My dad never had a good answer, because nobody ever had a good answer.
Nobody. Well, I asked Tark himself a couple of times. He never really had a great answer, but that was just his superstition. He had it was a bunch, and Scraby kind of doesn't remember this. So for those who don't remember it, the UNLV staff used to water down about six or seven towels and then fold them up and put them next to his chair so that when he went out there to coach a game and was sitting there, he could chew on the towels. And I mean, it's got to be one of the craziest superstitions of all time.
Can I tell you one of the worst things in my life is I'm like getting nervous talking about it, is like when you bite a towel and it like slides against your teeth. It's really weird. I can't handle
it. Like nails on a chalkboard for you?
Yeah, oh, that's thank you. You put that much better than I did.
Yeah.
Oh,
I can see
well,
that.
Well, he did not. He did not eat the towel. He just chewed it and kind of sucked on it.
If there's
no better way to explain it other than that. But it was pretty crazy.
I think the difference, Dosha Grabe, is that it only makes that sound on like a dry towel.
The towel is wet.
It doesn't really make that same sound. All right, here we go. Number four.
Number four,
you see it all the time in baseball. The silent treatment. A guy comes in after his first home run. Everybody gives him the silent treatment. A guy is throwing a no-hitter. You avoid him like the plague. Nobody goes near him. Nobody daps him up. Nobody high-fives him. Silent treatment. You see it all the time in baseball. And this goes all the way. I mean, I can remember the silent treatment all the way back in high school. Guy is pitching well. Everybody just stay away. First home run, you don't see that one until you get to the big leagues. But I would say number four on my list is a silent treatment.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I'm right with you, Tony. I think the number four superstition in all of sports is nobody talking about a no-hitter. Mm. So that was kind of my side. I'm going in the same direction you are there. But to me, I go at it from just a little bit of a different angle here. Not just the players aren't allowed to talk to each other about it, but neither are the broadcasters.
Ah, yes.
Neither are the fans. Neither are, right? If you're a fan, you're not supposed to say anything. If you're a media member, and certainly if you're a broadcaster, remember a couple years ago when I think it was Tyson Ross was going for one, the Padre guys took a little flack because they mentioned it on the air. Mark Grant said, "This is ridiculous. Of course we got to tell you it's a no-hitter." And he's right.
Yeah.
But, you know, announcers have to, or supposedly not supposed to talk about it too. It says if, you know, anybody mentions the word no-hitter, it will immediately disappear. So that's definitely one of the top five.
Number three
for me, I first noticed it watching hockey. Come playoff time, all of a sudden the beards come out. There's no trimming. There's no lining them up so they look all nice and crispy. It is just a straight up beard grow, and that has manifested itself into other sports, especially baseball. You'll see the playoff beard. Guys in baseball have taken it to another level. Now you just see a full season 162 length beard from certain guys throughout the season. But this started as a superstition in hockey, and it's one of my favorites. This falls on the list at number three for me.
All right. Good one, Tony. Number three for me on the all-time superstition list is the SI cover jinx, Sports Illustrated, which is kind of in line with the Madden cover jinx. But Sports Illustrated had a long, long line of situations where it seemed like a team would be doing well, and Sports Illustrated would put a picture on the cover of that team or a player from that team, and then that team would go right into the tank. So the SI cover jinx was a real thing, at least in terms of the minds of many people who were a victim of it, and just as much so as the Madden cover jinx. So for the newer generation, it's the Madden cover, but for my generation, it was the SI cover.
Number two
for me is quite common. It's the jersey number. I mean, we've seen people pay thousands of dollars to wear a specific number that they deem lucky. It's the most crazy thing I've ever seen. Now, I myself...
Thousands of dollars, too.
Thousands. I'm talking...
Boats,
20,
houses.
Right. We're talking new cars, talking about all kinds of craziness just to wear a number. Now, myself, never was good enough to be able to just dictate what number I wanted to wear every team I went. I wore many numbers. But as long as it wasn't over 30 or 30 or above, I was generally okay. It didn't really matter what the number was. But there are a lot of guys, I have teammates that would be ready to fight for a number, let alone be able to willing to shell out tens of thousands of dollars to get this number. So it's a real thing. You see it in every sport, not just baseball. It's basketball, football, all of the major sports. Guys will give up significant things to get their number two on the list.
I swear to God, really bad players, I think, get on teams and try to pick a number of somebody they think will be acquired by that team who will want to pay them for that number.
It's a wise strategy.
It's a good business.
Right? Yeah, I'm going to get number 25 here because if so-and-so gets traded here for, he'll want 25 so badly, I'll get a new mansion out of it. All right, number two for me is kind of a personal thing just because he's one of my all-time favorites and led my team to so much greatness over the years. But I think it's pretty strange that somebody as good as Michael Jordan even had a superstition. You wouldn't think that he would need one. You would think that mentally he would be beyond anything. But there was one thing that Michael Jordan would not do during any NBA basketball game, Tony, and I think you know what it is. He would not go out on the court if he was not wearing his light Carolina blue North Carolina shorts underneath his uniform. So I just always thought that was pretty amazing that somebody as great as Michael Jordan had that big of a superstition. Always wore his Carolina blue shorts under his regular Chicago Bulls shorts.
I mean, once you hear Michael has had a superstition, you probably want to create one. If it's that meaningful, you might want to create one if you don't have one. If Michael Jordan has one, we all can have one, I think.
Anybody can have one if he needs one.
Number one.
Now, number one on my list is not just a sports superstition, and it's not really a superstition. But from the outside looking in, it can look like a superstition. That's OCD. I bring up Nomar Garcia Parr. After every pitch he had in every big league game, he pretty much strapped off his batting glove, strapped him back on up to three times in between pitches.
Yep.
Every single pitch. And I promise you, if you asked him mid-at-bat what he was doing, he wouldn't even probably be able to tell you that he unstrapped his batting glove three or four times before stepping in the box. But it's real. You watch. I challenge you guys to watch pitchers moving forward after you hear this. Just watch them. Relievers, starters, they all got some type of thing that they do, whether it's touching their belt, pulling their pants up between every single pitch, they all have it.
Yep.
And most players, I play with a few players that actually were diagnosed with OCD. It's a real thing. And it manifests itself in sports a lot of time in what we call superstition.
Yeah, OCD, I think that the definition of it, when it doesn't cause anxiety, is just superstition.
Right.
I think that's basically what it is. You're right, Tony. All right, number one for me, you brought it up, so I don't like repeats, but it was my number one from the get-go, and that's the playoff beard in hockey. I think it's something that's been going on for the entire history of the sport. And I guess the reason I put it number one for me is because when I broadcast the Gulls games for 10 years, those dang guys would make me grow a beard during the playoffs. And they made some long runs in the playoffs, and I never liked growing beard. It itched and drove me crazy, and I couldn't stand it. But they didn't even let the broadcaster shave, at least at the Gulls level they didn't. So being as I had to take part in that particular one, I put that number one.
All right. That, my friend,
there you go.
Is the countdown. Oh yeah, we can't play our. I keep waiting for the countdown is now closed, but we can't.
Well, we can't play that anymore because we don't have the right voice for it.
We got to get the right voice before we start. Now we're waiting on head women's basketball coach Stacy Terry to join us. We're getting that set up as we speak. In the meantime, Chris,
yes,
we can talk a little bit about this Chargers situation once again for the third year in a row. They are rumored to be moving. Not this time back to San Diego, but this time, as they say, across the pond, over to London.
Yes.
Thomas, can you play the sound of Mr. Spanos really giving his true thoughts on moving to London.
Thank you.
That was just
okay.
There we
it's
go.
Total. Okay. We're not going to London. We're not going anywhere. We're playing in Los Angeles. This is our home. And this is where we're planning to be for a long time. Okay. Period. Okay. And if you want me to say it again, I'll say it again. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Can somebody please tell me who put the elevator music in the background? I don't know if you guys can hear that, but there's certainly elevator music going on
in the
background.
It's like NFL Network.
The NFL Network did that? They're cold for that.
We're not going to London. We're not going anywhere. We're playing in Los Angeles. This is our home, and this is where we're planning to be for a long time. Okay. Period. Okay? And if you want me to say it again, I'll say it again. Okay? Thank you.
I just want to point out one last thing about this Chargers thing going to England. If you take a pen or pencil right now, guys, and write down the word England, the middle two letters of England are L.A.
That's where they're staying.
I thought it was something better than that.
Oh, come on. That was pretty good.
Oh, thank you, Thomas.
Oh, no way.
They're only doing that because they're not in the room.
All right, we are moving along here from in Honolulu, and the reason I am is because of the great coach of the San Diego State women's basketball team, Stacey Terry, and her team getting ready to kick off the 2019 season tonight against the University of Hawaii, and very nice of the coach to join us this close to tip-off. Stacey, we're only about four hours away from the start of the season, and I know that you have been very excited about this season for a long time.
I am, guys. Hello. Hello from Honolulu, and I'm excited to be on with you guys. Yeah, excited to get this thing going and tip off. I'm over here watching Notre Dame and Fordham go toe-to-toe, so I'm getting nervous about the road team, but I'm excited to get going here and start off with a good foot forward.
Stacey, tell us a little bit about what your expectations are for this team. You had a pretty young team last year, a year of experience moving forward. What are your expectations for this squad this year?
You know, we're still young in the aspect that we have sophomores playing major minutes. Well, we will have sophomores playing major minutes for us this year. But the experience that those sophomores got their freshman year, I think, has really helped our team mature faster than expected. We've had some really great practices with some great leadership, with the addition of a transfer senior in Taylor Comer and some freshmen. We just moved at a little faster pace than in years past. So I think we're ahead of schedule. I say that, you know, cautiously when you start off on the road against a very good opponent in Hawaii. But, you know, I think our learning curve has just happened a little bit faster than it's had in the past. That gets me excited about this season.
Stacey, you got to be very proud of yourself, your staff. I mean, to go out to Texas and to be able to recruit Sophia Ramos and Mallory Adams, a couple of great young high school players from Texas who, as you mentioned, were outstanding and all-conference freshman players a year ago. And then also to get this transfer from Oregon State, Taylor Comer, who played in the Final Four a couple of years ago. I mean, you guys have worked very hard to get to this point, and I imagine that you kind of passing that work ethic along to these kids and letting them know that they got a real chance to do something with this ball club this year.
We really do have a chance. If we can stay healthy and stay focused, I think we got a real shot. We got a lot of kids coming back, and then I think we've improved a lot with our post play with some of our kids that were on the roster last year. I was really pleased with how they came out, Bailey Vanderdoes and Zane, coming out in our exhibition game, doing a great job and giving us some serious point production from the five spot. So in addition to the kids that you mentioned, Chris, I think we have improved in some of the areas where we were struggling last year. So, you know, this is going to be a good year for us. This is a very talented team. And like I said, if we can stay focused, we got a good shot to make some noise in the Mountain West.
Now, you guys are picked to finish fifth in the conference this year. What kind of fire does that light
under your for you guys' team as you move into this season? Obviously, you guys finished strong in that Mountain West Conference tournament last year. I would expect expectation, at least in that locker room, are a little bit higher than a fifth place finish.
They are. They definitely are. You know, we came out with the expectations to win a Mountain West championship. So that's what our goal is. So in order to do that, in our eyes, you need to be number one. So that's what we're gunning for. You know, but that's about probably where I thought we'd be picked.
Okay.
We still haven't shown that we can do what we did in the conference tournament consistently. So until we do that, I think that's a good spot for us. You know, I'd rather be at the bottom than at the top and prove people wrong. So we got some room to go, but I think we're going to be one of the top teams in the conference this year. So I think it's a good place to start.
Stacey, coming into your seventh year as head coach at San Diego State, I'm just curious, what have you learned about yourself? What have you learned about this job, this task that you have undertaken that either A, maybe you didn't expect, or B, that has kind of been pleasantly surprising to you over the years?
I think the biggest thing that I've learned, that's a really good question, because after every season, I sit down and reflect in areas that I can improve. And I think what I've learned is to simplify, keep it simple. And it's also about the relationships that you have with your kids. So, you know, simplifying what we do offensively and defensively and holding them accountable for those small things, and then creating relationships not only with the staff, support staff, people around our athletic department. You know, it's a family, and we treat it as such.
Coach, thanks so much for the time. We're up against the top of the hour, but I will see you in a couple of hours myself over here at the Sheriff Center in Hawaii, and let's get the season off to a good start tonight.
It sounds good. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Thank you for your time, Coach Terry.
Of course.
Anytime, Coach. Stacey Terry right there getting ready for what I think is going to be a pretty good season, T. We'll see. I mean, I've been proven wrong before, but watching this team grow, I think they are set to make a little noise this year. We'll see.
Yeah, they should definitely be a really confident team going into this year. All right, it's time to take a break. Top of the hour coming up, 6 o'clock. We're going to talk a little USC football, a little USC program. They seem to not really know what direction they're going to go in. We'll give you more when we come back. Gwen and Chris, 97.3, The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.